Hello, everyone. This is Rosalind Sadaka, and I am very happy to have you join us for this, the fourth in the series of National Child Centered Divorce Month teleseminars. We have experts who have been sharing their wisdom all through the month of July on a number of topics related to parenting and divorce, and tonight is no different. We have three wonderful people who have a wealth of wisdom that I know you'll be happy to pick up on. I'm Rosalind Sadaka. I'm the founder of National Child Centered Divorce Month and the Child Centered Divorce Network, and author of How Do I Tell the Kids About Divorce. And I want to introduce you to the three individuals who will be on our teleseminar this today. The first person is Lisa Decker, and next we have Christina Rowe, and then Michelle Muncy. And I'm going to give each of them a chance to tell you something about them directly so that you'll hear what they're up to. Why don't we start with you, Lisa?
Okay. Thank you, Rosalind. I appreciate you having me on the call tonight and with these other wonderful ladies. I'm sure this is going to be great. I am a certified divorce financial analyst based in near Atlanta, Georgia, and I help people with the money aspects of the divorce to make sure that they're getting a fair and equitable settlement. And I look to help people divorce their spouse and not their money. So my website is divorcemoneymatters.com.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you so much. And Christina, why don't you tell us a bit about yourself?
Thank you, Rosalind, for having me on the call. And I'm looking forward to doing this call with the other two women who have a wealth of knowledge to share. Well, my name is Christina Rowe, and I'm the author of Seven Secrets to a Successful Divorce, What Every Woman Needs to Know. And I wrote this book because I went through my own very difficult divorce. And I learned the hard way about the perils of divorce. I was a happily married woman with four children, and then I caught my husband cheating, and my life just spiraled out of control, and I didn't want any other woman to go through what I went through. My website is secretsofdivorce.com.
Thank you. And last but certainly not least, we have Michelle Muncy. And Michelle, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, and thank you, Roz. Thank you so much. I just wanted to commend you on all the great work you've done for National Child Centered Divorce Month, and I'm really excited that we can be a part of it. We have started an online co-parenting program that it came about based on the fact that we're partners and myself are all product of divorce, and we just we were concerned about how we can better impact parents and children, and so a lot of courts around the nation have required or mandated parenting classes, and what we're hoping to do through the development of the online class is keep parents out of the courts and do more of a collaboration type effort, which in turn would save the parents a significant amount of money. So, I thank you for letting me talk.
It's just a pleasure. I'm going to start with you, Christina, and ask you this question. I just want to mention to everyone that Christina's focus through her book is for women in particular. Michelle and Lisa are focusing on both moms and dads in their work and aren't focused on any gender in particular. So I just want to make that clear. But Christina, you have a personal story to tell that became the basis of your book, and I was wondering if you could briefly share your story and how that prompted you to write your book.
Well, it's like I mentioned before, I had four children, and I thought I was a happily married woman, and then I discovered that my husband was cheating. At the time, we owned a hair and nail salon, and he had taken up with a hairdresser. So it was quite a shock. I was completely unprepared. I, you know, didn't think I was getting a divorce, so when it happened, it just, you know, It just was totally something that I was not prepared for. And it was a very ugly divorce. Unfortunately, my husband refused to pay child support, and he wound up spending a month in jail for not paying child support or alimony. So this divorce dragged on for a year and a half before we finally settled, And I was just so stunned by how the court system was, about all the things that I didn't know. I mean, you think you're going to go to court and everything's going to be fair and, you know, you're going to get, you know, your fair share. And I was just shocked about the way I was treated in the court system. And I didn't want any other woman to go through that experience. So I wrote this book and, you know, telling women what, you know, what they need to know, basically, like the 7 steps that they must take before asking for a divorce, how to find the right attorney, how to win in the courtroom, what to do when your husband won't pay child support, and, you know, subjects like that.
Thank you. And obviously the focus of child-centered divorce movement is to help people not ever have to experience anything that Christina experienced and other people that we read about in the headlines, so that they make better decisions, get out of the courts, don't even get into the courts, and have a different kind of outcome. And I know Lisa's work is focused on helping them from the financial perspective. So you're an expert on divorce financial planning, and what do parents need to think about before moving into divorce from a financial perspective?
Well, one of the most important things that I think any parent can think about, or anyone getting divorced for that matter, is, you know, what way do you want your divorce to look? You actually have a lot of control over that if you make the right choices up front. And a lot of times people run out in an emotional state of mind and hire a big attorney. And sometimes that can fuel the flames, make things worse in the relationship, make things harder on the children, and cost a lot more in the divorce process.
Yeah, and that is, it's so important to realize that there are some attorneys who welcome you on board and want to work with you and have your guidance and assistance, and then there are others that are not letting, I think a lot of people don't even know that there are professionals like you out there providing this level of service. And what's the difference?
As far as...
For the families who are not aware that they can get...
Oh, yes, yes. And you know, sometimes it's a matter of also thinking about, you know, common sense. Do you want to fund your children's education, or do you want to fund your attorney's children's education? You know, sometimes we get to fighting over things that don't make economic sense, you know, just trying to get out each other and not putting the needs of the children first. I think what you're doing with the child-centered divorce just makes so much sense for the children, for the parents. You know, if you have children, you're connected together for life, because there will be grandchildren and there will be family events, and, you know, you just want to go through it in such a manner that you can continue some kind of relationship for the children's sake, and also looking at the economic benefits of, you know, not spending all the money in the divorce, but having it for your children's needs.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. And Michelle, I know that child sharing is all about preparing parents for years of co-parenting ahead after the divorce. Can you share some of the most important tips that parents need to keep in mind when they're embarking on the divorce or just after the divorce, so that they're understanding the co-parenting process?
Well, I think one of the big things that we're trying to accomplish right now is what can we teach the parents that are going to motivate them to change? Meaning after they take, say, for example, a program like ours, we can educate them on, you know, on the various programs like the financial programs that are out there or what's available. A lot of times when the parents are even entering into divorce, they're ill-educated on even what example is a parenting plan. And so by us, you know, offering the online co-parenting class, we give them some of the tools that they may not have been aware of, or some knowledge on how to best deal with the courts or some of the resources that are out there. And then as far as tips and tricks, you know, throughout the program that we have to offer, it's just better communication, you know, ways for the parents. And a lot of it is common sense, but I think that when you're going through the divorce process, sometimes you just need to be reminded, hey, you know, what's logical? And, you know, and the parents and the feedback that we've gotten, you know, I think, Roz, you can probably testify, it's just the parents are yearning for this type of just any type of education or support. And so, again, it kind of comes back to the, you know, child-centered divorce. And they want to learn, and they want the knowledge. And I think that, you know, if they can come away maybe thinking, I need to make more of an effort with my co-parent, or maybe make a different decision. You know, it's all helpful, and in the end, it's financially going to benefit all parties involved.
Yeah.
But, you know, just, you know, one other thing is that these judges and these courts are so impacted with domestic relations issues that, you know, the parents don't know not to let the judge make the decision about their children, that, you know, that they should take that control back and keep, you know, stay out of the court.
Yeah, I think that's the overriding message that every one of the professionals in this series has given. Stay out of the courts. The courts are not designed to be your ally, because you're giving up your personal power and decisions to strangers, and they're making decisions about you and your family, your children, decisions that are going to be lasting for years in your future. And there are other alternatives, and I think a lot of people were not aware that there are other alternatives, such as mediators and collaborative attorneys and divorce coaches and the financial planners and the therapists and other resources that they can take advantage of before they have to get near the courts and in making the initial decisions of what professionals to work with. Now, I know, Christina, you've learned a lot about parenting after divorce, and having been a single parent of four children, what advice can you share, especially from the child-centered divorce perspective?
Well, since my divorce was so ugly and hostile, and I didn't think there would ever be hope for my ex and I to get along. So amazingly now, it's been about 5 years since my divorce, and I can now speak with my ex calmly on the phone, and we get along better than we've ever have. Are we best friends? Absolutely not. But we do have finally reached the point where we can communicate, where there was a time when there just was no communication. It was very bad. In fact, my ex actually had his rights taken away by the court for 6 months. He wasn't allowed to speak to my children until he went for counseling, just to give you an idea of how bad this divorce was. So for us to come this far, basically a miracle. And the way that I had to finally do this was I had to say to myself, you know what, I can't change him, but I can change my reaction to him.
Mm.
And that was the key.
Yeah.
So normally when he would say something to push my buttons over the telephone or do something, and I would react, you know, like a normal parent would and get upset, and that was just fueling the fire. I decided to take a different approach. I decided to not react to him, to stay calm and, you know, and not blow up back. And that started to change things. And the other thing I did, too, was I tried to remember things about him in the marriage, that the good times and his good qualities.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, I know a lot of you people listening to this probably say, you know what, my ex has no good qualities. You know, when you're that, it's normal. When you're going through it, you're very angry. But
sure.
When you focus on the good in someone, you know, amazingly, that person will start to act better with you. They'll be, it's probably like, you know, just something to do with maybe the law of attraction or whatever, but it really does work. So I would try to focus on his good qualities, and before I spoke with him, and he softened up and he started to come around, and, you know, thank God for my children, he has come a long way. I mean, it's not perfect, but it's, you know, a lot better than it was in the past. So I would suggest, you know, if somebody's going through a difficult divorce right now and you just can't communicate with your ex-spouse, just, you know, try not to let them push your buttons. You know, try to stay in control of your emotions.
That's excellent advice. I know the other therapists who've been on the previous calls have also endorsed that as a very important component. If one parent changes the dynamic in any way, that gives the other parent permission emotionally to change their dynamic as well. So when you stop putting the other party on the defensive, then they're more likely to be receptive to changes, and slowly you can change the dance that you were doing and create a whole new level of relationship, which you so need, again, for the sake of the children. So thank you for that. Lisa, let me ask you, what are some of the financial pitfalls that divorced parents face when they're poorly prepared?
Well, of course, not having enough money to live on because they may have underestimated during the budgeting process, and then having to go back into court and ask for modification can get very costly. So if you're able to, you know, really have an understanding of the numbers up front, you can avoid some of that. We are seeing a lot more modifications these days, though, with the change in the economy and job losses and such. So there, you know, child support is always modifiable, and that's something that is not an easy thing to deal with in these times. There are a couple of tax issues that a lot of people aren't aware of, the child contingency rules that can be traps to fall into when the divorce decree is drawn up, and that has to do with the happening of any kind of financial contingency related to the child, and at certain intervals, such as turning 18 or age of majority in the state, and can clearly cause some problems for if the spousal support is reclassified as child support. It can cause some grave issues for the parent who is assessed extra taxes. It's a complicated matter, but it's one that you definitely don't want to step into. So if you have children, you want to make sure that they have not specified any changes around spousal support or child support around certain ages. Ask your financial advisor about the child contingency rules. That would be a big one that I would say.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, thank you for that. I think the more parents are aware of the multitude of ways the finances will affect the divorce beforehand, then the easier it is for them to move through the process and also have an outcome that's not going to surprise them. I know sometimes people 2, 3, 5, 10 years later suddenly realize that the consequences of their divorce were not in their favor, and they're really caught up in drama. Is that true?
Absolutely, absolutely. And so, you know, the more that you can do in pre-planning and getting it right before the divorce is finalized, the better your economic future is going to be.
Okay, well, thanks for that. Michelle, let me ask you, what place does the parents' relationship play in the future well-being of their children?
Well, of course, I mean, it's a huge, huge emphasis on our focus of our program is that the more parents can communicate and get along, just in general, in theory, I mean, the smoother the process is going to go. You know, I think that would be, in any case, and I think that, you know, a lot of what we get is a lot of issues where one co-parent's making a lot of effort and the other one sort of disappeared or uninterested. And so a lot of the things that we touch upon, you know, in our class and that we're actually been trying to build more upon based on the feedback is the parental alienation. What if one person isn't involved? And so I think what, you know, what we try to touch upon is even if the other parent isn't responsive, what you can do, I think a lot of what Cindy said is as an individual, how you react to them. And so in an ideal world, everybody gets along and you could do collaborative divorce. Is that the norm? I'm not sure, but, you know, you can do your best in the process. And mm-hmm. So the more information you can have, especially, you know, I'm going to go back to all the experts that have participated and reach out and get the help of others. You know, it's going to do nothing but, you know, especially the value that Lisa brings, and just the more knowledge you have under your belt on how to better parent, how to educate yourself through this process, because it is such a new process, you know, the better off all parties are going to be, and then hopefully in turn the other parent is going to respond, and in turn the children benefit.
Yep, I hear you, and I think that seems to be the consensus that everyone is finding. So the more you can get into groups that talk about divorce issues or take courses and classes and coaching and all of that, I think the more insights parents get and learn, and it prepares them to and arms them, in a sense, to be more ready for various challenges that inevitably are going to happen. And I think one of the best tips that I have found is that when you're making decisions as a parent through divorce, and you're going to have parenting decisions constantly, remember that you're a parent first rather than a divorced parent first, and try to ask yourself, how would I respond to this particular situation if I was still married, if divorce wasn't in the picture? So you want to take out of the equation any tension between you and your former spouse and any likelihood that you are just reacting because one parent says X, the other one is going to say Y. You want to make sure that the answer that you're giving is coming just from a pure place of parenting rather than divorced parenting, and that'll keep you more on track. Oh, what do you think about that, Christina? And you certainly have had experience with four children.
No, I agree with you. And, you know, you want to treat your ex-spouse how you like that him or her to treat you. So, you know, a lot of times if you're the custodial parent, you sometimes will fall into the trap of, you know, getting used to being a single parent where you're making all the decisions. Mm-hmm. And especially if maybe your ex-spouse only sees the kids on the weekends, or if, like in my case, my ex lives out of state, so he's not involved daily in their lives. So it's important to remember if there's a decision, like I'll give him a call. I'll tell him what's going on. If the kids do something, you know, where they get in trouble or whatever, I'll make sure to keep him included,
mm-hmm.
because it can become very easy to do that, you know, especially if you're the primary caregiver, to just make all the decisions and then the other parent's going to feel left out of the process. So I agree with that. You do want to think more of how you would react had you not been divorced. You would naturally call your husband or wife and, you know, and tell them what's going on. So don't stop doing that just because you're divorced now.
Yeah, it really is so important. And, of course, we all know that children are very smart, and they tend to play parents one against the other. When the more of a rift or a divide or a philosophical difference between parents, then the more readily children will play on those differences, and you get the things, but mommy lets me do it, or dad said I can go there, and it's so valuable when parents can stick together and form a bond of parenting, regardless of what mom and dad may feel about each other. Individually, if they remember that they're joint as parents, then the better the children are able to deal with issues because you have mom and dad as a united force. Not everyone is that fortunate in that situation, and therefore you have to deal with situations sometimes where the rules in mom's house are one way and the rules in dad's house are another way, and it just gives children a lot more leeway as far as the emotional acting out and behaving. So I just wanted to ask any of you who has an answer about what you've learned about the emotional and psychological repercussions of divorce done wrong. What can you share with us, what you've seen in your experience when the divorce is not handled well?
Well, I can jump in there just to tell you on my own divorce how this is why, as a warning to parents listening to this, my children, you know, were deeply affected. And my one son, he's 15 years old, and he just recently said, you know, your mom and dad, you both ruined my life by getting a divorce.
Oh,
and he's
my.
15 years old, because it was such an awful divorce. So, you know, obviously he's a teenager, and teenagers blame, you know, they go through a rough time, and they look for excuses for things. But it was because it was such a tough divorce. And you know, there's something for people to keep in mind. You know, it's, if you can, like you said before, stay out of the courts, settle the divorce. It's the best thing you could do for your children. And if you do that, your children will recover much faster. If they see you getting along, and they're going to be much better off and have less problems down the road. So that would be my advice.
Thank you, and I certainly agree with that. Anyone else have any feedback or opinions about the emotional and psychological repercussions when divorce isn't handled right?
Well, just from, this is Lisa, from personal experience with many friends and family and clients now, I can tell you that those that set the better example for their children really do get less repercussions when they get older. And you know, as Christina said, it's hard enough to have a teenager, but when the kids have witness some of the harder divorces, you know, it can really it make it harder for them when they get to, and also for their parents. So, you know, those who are able to put the children front and center and be able to look at their needs now at the time of the divorce and seeing into the future, you know, how do we want this to look for our children growing forward, being the example, that there's such a tremendous difference in the outcome. It is so much better for everyone involved, not just the children, but the parents later on dealing with those teen years, you know, when the kids have watched a better outcome, you know, watch their parents put them first. And, but I'm so happy to hear, like what Christina said, that, you know, there is hope. And I have seen what you've talked about, Christina, and that is just so wonderful, because then you're setting the example of, you know, here's how you grow and learn from this, and here's how you go forward. So that's wonderful that you're now able to speak with your husband and your kids are seeing that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, it took a long time to get to this point, but it's, you know, it's, and it does take, somebody's got to stop the madness, you know, cause,
yeah.
Or you see them, and I've seen people who, you know, it's 10, 20 years after their divorce, they won't sit in the same room, they have adult children, and their grandkids wonder what's going on. You don't want to wind up like that. So somebody's got to make the decision to say, you know, enough of this, we have to find a way to work together and repair some of the damage, you know, and it's very hard. A lot of people I know, they'll listen to this, and right now they're going through a really tough time, and maybe they don't, like in my case, I wanted to settle. I wasn't the one fighting with my husband. He chose to act in a certain way during the divorce, and a lot of people are probably in that situation, so they may be thinking, well, I'm not the one doing it, you know, but regardless, it's how you react, and it's if you can control your emotions and stay calm, and at least one parent setting that example. If the two parents go completely insane during the divorce, then it's going to affect the children even worse. So if you don't have a cooperative ex, then you need to be the one to do your best to control your emotions and stay in control.
Thank you so much for sharing that, because that is so, so important. People need to hear and understand that, and it can't be repeated often enough, because it's so easy to point the finger and say, well, I'm really not the guilty party, it's my ex, and you could be saying that for years and years and years and years, and some of us do have really difficult challenges, there's no doubt about it. No one is making light and saying that some of these situations aren't extremely difficult and frustrating. However, it does pay to get professional counseling and get advice from someone who is able to help you with communication skills, because we each have the ability to accelerate and blow up situations more, or decelerate them, and that's not the right word, but and bring them down and make a situation less volatile. And because we're parents and we have to continue being in each other's lives as parents, it's urgent that we learn the skills that are going to create the best possible outcome and at least protect our children emotionally from in whatever way we can. So I think that's such a pivotal point for everyone to understand. And before we go any further, I just wanted to open the call up. If any of our listeners have any questions, now we can make that available. You can speak up because I haven't muted the lines yet. So if anyone listening wants to ask a question, now's a good time. Any questions? Okay, then we will continue with some questions and see if anything comes up a little later on in the call. So my focus, of course, is creating what I call a win-win-win divorce, and that means everyone involved. It's a win for the parent and for each parent, and it's a win for well. So I was wondering if you wanted to speak a little bit about how parents can create a win-win-win divorce. What are the ways that they can go about doing that, and some of the steps?
And who was that question to, Roz?
You can start. Go ahead, Lisa.
Oh, well, I think by educating themselves on their options, the types of divorce that are out there, the way they want to divorce, you know, what do they want to envision their divorce looking like? I mean, you know, it is like a law of attraction, you know. The way that you are going to go through it, whether you're going to have mediation or collaborative or traditional litigation, you know, you have that choice up front. You set the tone. The person who stays in the best emotional control is generally going to be the winner. And so people can prepare a winning divorce that you're talking about by being prepared, by being educated, by having emotional control as best as possible, or if it's, you know, if you're not in that state of mind, have someone who can be that person for you. Your therapist, I'll act like the emotional voice for my clients in their finances, you know, because sometimes when you're in that state of mind, you're not making the best choices. So you need to have team members in place who can keep you focused and on track and looking at your divorce more of a business sense so that you can come out winning that way. And if you keep control of yourself and the divorce process, you keep it moving in the manner that you want because you have that emotional control and you have those who are helping you control the other aspects, you're going to come out on top no matter what because you will have empowered yourself and been able to make better decisions through the process regarding your finances, regarding your children, regarding your future.
And being empowered is so important. You never want to be giving up your power because it makes you feel more depressed and it makes you feel more frustrated before, during, and after the divorce. So feeling that you're an educated person who's making decisions that are coming from some level of awareness is really an important facet of having a positive outcome. So thank you for that. Why don't we ask Michelle how your program also works to help create a win-win-win, even if it's not before the divorce, but immediately after, so that people are starting out in a good mindset?
Well, I think, you know, for us, a lot of times that the women feel like the victim and the man, you know, the man comes at it as he's feeling attacked or he's going to get taken advantage of financially. And so I guess giving them the opportunity to take the program at the pace that they're taking it, you know, it empowers them and it gives them the knowledge that they need kind of to make more rational decisions or things that they maybe hadn't have thought about or to look at something different. So I guess, you know, how we would get a win-win and you would be shocked at the amount of men that respond to the survey saying, thank you, I know how to talk to the co-parent. A lot of times the men aren't equipped to know how to communicate properly. And in turn, the women, you know, sort of change their tune. So once that they, you know, they feel like maybe they're not necessarily being victimized, and then the man knows that, you know, it's not all about the money, you know, it makes it better, and then that opens up communication, and then they can then talk about their children. So again, I'm going to go back to a lot of the feedback we get is thank you for teaching us how to communicate with our co-parent. Thank you for, you know, teaching us what a parenting plan is and knowing that we have, you know, control over that. Whereas they, you know, they just are not equipped with the proper tools or terminology or, you know, it's just basic parenting skills that they're just not aware of. So I think that they're yearning for this, it's out there, and all the resources that we can give them. But I'm constantly shocked that how valuable they just seek this little nugget of information. Each, you know, both men and women. It's not exclusive to women. You know, the value that they gain from the program.
Sure. So, let me ask you this, Michelle: can anyone take your online parenting classes, or do you have to live in certain states or municipalities?
Well, it's, you know, we're in the process of going through county to county, state to state. Some counties certified the program, some states certified the program. You know, with the budgets that the way they are, what we're finding is that the state and the county officials are just doing what they can just to survive. But and then a lot of mandate in-person classes. And so what we've been doing is we've been trying to educate the state and county officials as to the value that you can get, the, you know, what some of the benefits are and some what some of the studies have said about the value of online education and what the parents are getting from it. So it's not even exclusive to divorcing parents, because a lot of, just to kind of bring about the point, in the courts, you know, a lot of times they are not, they have never been married. And so that's, you know, it's looking at even changing up some of the word, you know, getting the divorce out of the term and just separation, or it could have been a one-night stand or whatever the situation is. It's just better educating them with tools.
In co-parenting, regardless.
Oh, yeah.
So does that mean people, your program is called childsharing.com, and does that mean someone has to live in a certain place that has already approved the program before they could get access to the parenting class?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Roz. Let me address that question. Is that we're in the process of seeking out approval, say, like for Florida, for example, in most counties. So, you know, a lot of times it's contingent on the judge who can, anybody can take the program. It's open to anybody to take the program. If you've been specifically required to take it through your court, you know, we're in the process of going around and getting certified in all the various courts, but it does take a long time. So if anybody is specifically mandated to take a program and we are not on their vendor list or the referral list, the best thing to do would be to call their judge or the family law department, whatever it is. It's called something different in so many mm-hmm. different states and counties. And just to verify, say, hey, I'm looking to take a parenting program. It's really good for parents who are trying to seek out additional education or support when they go into court and say, you know, we've also attended these parenting classes, here's the curriculum.
Right, and that's what I was getting at. It is available for anyone to take the online course. They don't. It doesn't matter if they're not mandated. If they just want to get it for their own value, then they can take advantage of it. Is that correct?
Yeah, and we've had a lot of parents who actually are just taking it for their own interest.
Yeah,
I run across our program and just, you know, and the value that they've gotten out of it has been just as valuable as anybody that's mandated. A lot of times there's, you know, there's the learners and then there's the vacationers and the prisoners, and I think you're going to find that with any situation is those that want to gain the knowledge are going to get the knowledge, and we're going to motivate change.
Mm-hmm.
And so hopefully those that are the prisoners and the vacationers, you know, we can spark their interest and get them to respond in some fashion. So.
Terrific. Well, it's a wonderful resource to know about. And Christina, let me ask you about some of the best tips you can provide to parents to avoid economic and emotional damage related to divorce, because I know you've experienced both of that as you went through your own.
Well, I would say, going with the economic damage to prevent that, there are certain things that, and I'm sure Lisa can elaborate on this also, the things that you need to do to protect yourself immediately. You'd be shocked how many women in this day and age in 2009 do not know what assets they own in their marriage. They do not pay bills. They don't know specifics on the income that their husbands make, or you know, what they have in the bank accounts. I mean, you think that most women today would know that, but many women don't. So these are things, if you're thinking about getting a divorce, or if the writing's on the wall and you're having trouble in your marriage, you should know. Even if you're in a happy marriage, you should know this, because God forbid your husband would pass away. You need to have access. So you need to make copies. The things to make copies of would be your spouse's pay stubs for the past 8 weeks, joint tax returns, all of your bank statements, stock accounts, IRAs, pension plans, all of your monthly bills. You want copies of that so you know your expenses. Deeds to any properties, any investments, any collectibles, jewelry, valuables. You could even photograph and videotape these items, furnishings, or take pictures. This is a way to prepare yourself. You know, start going through the documents and make copies. Give it to a close friend if you're afraid, if you have a very controlling husband who may get upset by finding this, and put that away. that's your insurance. I mean, it's going to make life, and I'm sure Lisa can tell you this, a lot easier when you do go to a financial, you know, divorce planner, somebody to help you, or a lawyer, you know, that you have this information, because the court can request, you know, of course, subpoena your ex to provide this, but it, they can play games with it and change, you know, move assets around, and it becomes a mess. So that definitely you want to protect yourself right away financially by taking that action.
Let's hold off on the emotional side until we have Lisa add to this while we're talking about economics and divorce.
Oh, absolutely. Everything Christina said is true. And, you know, I see this every day with women who come in and really don't have much idea on, you know, what their husbands make, what the household income is, what they owe, what they own. And, you know, it's important whether you're married or you're not that you have an understanding about money. And so many marriages fail because of communication and because of money. So if you have lack of communication on your money, you really are setting yourself up for failure. But it is important. It's vitally important. And by having all of those documents, understanding how to access them, where they're at all times, what's there for emergency purposes, what's growing long term, you can be prepared for anything in life, including divorce. And it will be less emotionally devastating if you can put your hands on those things than having to try to go through the divorce and deal with the economics and financial matters that you have no clue about. Not only will you be more empowered, but you'll also save yourself a lot of money because you will not have to have others go through documents and create things for you, an understanding of those documents, subpoena those documents, which is, you know, then getting very expensive trying to get to the documents. So it is vitally important that you have an understanding about that at all times.
Thank you. And let's talk a little bit about the emotional damage, the tips to avoid emotional damage related to divorce. Let's talk first about you as a parent. And, Christina, what insights can you share with us about that?
Well, you know, we spoke about it, you know, earlier on the call, and the number one thing we've all three of us have said it tonight is controlling your emotions. And, you know, when you go through a divorce, it is a death. It's like I always say it's like, you know, it's like the same feelings that you'd have had your spouse died, but they're running around driving you crazy. You know, it's like you just have this person. You know, it's a terrible thing, and you go through all of those stages that you go through of, you know, of somebody dying. You know, it's shock and denial and anger, and it's very difficult when you're going through this and your life has been turned upside down to be emotionally strong for your children. Because, you know, you're experiencing all of these different feelings, you know, if your ex is cheating, you're feeling jealousy and rage and hate and confusion. And so it's really important to, like you said, seek counseling, have somebody or good girlfriends that you can speak to, and let your emotions out in a safe outlet. I always say, like, write a letter to your ex and then burn it. You know, have a little ritual where you burn it, punch a pillow, you know, scream in your room. Just release that emotion where it's safe, because what will happen is if you don't and you bottle it down, it'll come out in some way, and it may come out where you're taking it out on your kids or you're losing control, you know, and you're cursing at your ex in front of the kids. I mean, it'll come out in all different ways. So it's really important that you have a healthy way. Maybe you want to take up a hobby, you know, go dancing or exercise. Get that energy out, you know, and so that you're in control of your emotions and your emotions aren't in control of you. And that will help your children because they'll learn healthy ways to deal with you know, traumatic life situations by watching you and how you handle it.
I like that. Learning healthy ways to handle situations is so important. I think one of the major points that we always try to make is that we are always role models as parents, and when we're going through really tough times, such as the challenges of divorce, this is the time when our children are watching us. And the more we can shine as role models, and that means we can be open and honest, and yes, they could see us feeling sad or depressed at times, but we can also show that we have patience and tolerance and that we can forgive and all of those other qualities, we're allowing our children to see that they can do that too in life. And I think many people will look at divorce in the longer term as a gift in their life and see that there's many facets to it that really turned out to be a gift. And we may be able to talk a little bit more about that as we move ahead.
But you know what, I want to just add in something you just said about how the children model you. And interestingly enough, since I've written my book, my sons have had friends who've gotten divorced, and I find that they are, like, counseling those children. You know, they're trying to be the person, you know, to be helpful, because they see that I've reached out to people, try to help people, and now they're trying to do the same thing if they see a friend who's going through a divorce. Because so even though it's as traumatic as it was for them, they're using that skill. So you can, like you said, it can be a gift. You can turn it around. Anything that happens to you in life, you can look at the positive end, too, and how could you help another person and be that role model for someone else. So, you know, you can definitely learn life lessons from the situation.
Excellent. I appreciate that. And that's wonderful to know that your children are doing that. That really is. You know, sometimes the worst things in life can bring out some of the best qualities in us and move us to be and do things. And I know, Michelle, you were a child of divorce, and it motivated you to bring divorce into your professional life. Is that right?
Absolutely. And, you know, and I think the real aspect that I'm a single parent, and it's keeping those emotional lines open and making the right decision. And I think, you know, both Lisa and Christine have touched on a lot of the we briefly cover probably what each of them go into to real detail about. You know, one thing that I don't want to take this out of context, but that we need to be really cognizant of is not making your children the messenger child.
Mm.
And that's just kind of a big issue that we seem to run into, is that, you know, that making them the go-between and really making a conscious effort not to, you know, to try and separate out what information you're giving to your children, to keep the communication between the co-parent separate from the relationship that you have with your children.
That is such an important point, and thank you for bringing it up, because there's no doubt about it. When you make your children the spy between homes, when you make your children your confidant and share with them adult information that they really should not be privy to, all of those things put a terrible emotional weight and burden on your children that you don't want to be placing on them. Those are the places for professionals to help you, or at least close friends, not your children. So thank
and,
you.
And
that.
I think, you know, to have professionals or, you know, other close individuals call you out on that, because I think sometimes you don't even realize that that's happening. And so to have the tools to be cognizant of some of these issues that come up. Hey, I didn't really realize I was doing that. And there are resources out to help you realize, you know, some of the things that you are doing, or to maybe ask somebody like Christine to analyze, hey, what could I be doing differently? What could I do to make this better?
That's a great point, because it's true. We are blinded, especially when we're emotionally distraught, and it's very hard to see. We don't realize what we're doing, the tone of our voice, the way we're coloring messages, and how that's impacting our children. So having someone that you trust and respect, being able to bring that out, is a wonderful gift for you to keep you on board. What about other ways that we can avoid, as parents, the emotional damage related to divorce, emotional damage to our children now? Who has another suggestion?
Well, I want to tie something in that goes both ways with economic, too, that I want to mention, which this is another thing that Lisa's an expert in that she can elaborate on also. You want to avoid problems in the future, and a lot of times if your kids are young when you're getting a divorce and you do your divorce settlement and you don't put the proper things for child support that you need to put in there, then later on you're going to have to be fighting after the divorce, you know, with like things like braces for your children's teeth, camp, future expenses as they get older, who's going to pay for what. And, you know, something is, and probably most people never even think of this, that when you have teenagers, that when they start driving, the custodial parent gets a surcharge in most states on your insurance. You know, if it's something like that, that's not in my divorce agreement. I would never even thought of that yet. I'm the one who gets stuck now with my insurance going up. This happened with my daughter for 2 years. I had to pay like $1,000 a year more, and that's not something I can go back to my ex and say, well, you know, pay half of that. But like things like that, you need to plan from the beginning when they're young and have these things in your divorce settlement to say who's going to pay for what. And then later on, you won't be having this, you know, asking your ex for money. And they say, well, it's not in the agreement. I'm not paying you extra child support for that, or having to go get a modification or go back to court. And so you can avoid a lot of that if you're really careful and go to somebody like Lisa, who's a financial planner, and map out all the details. And a lot of people don't do that. So I would advise them definitely taking advantage of that.
Lisa, how far ahead do you look when you're creating the plans that you're putting together to avoid these kinds of things? Is this common?
Oh, absolutely. That is great advice again from Christina. I try to set something up in with the agreement that the parents come to, looking at future cost. You know, we can try to enumerate whether it's college or sports or other activities that the kids get involved in, but you never really know that far down the line, you know, what your children are going to have interest in. So you can actually have something built into your agreement saying that you would, you know, the parents will split a percentage of those types of activities, or college, or medical expenses, or whatever the case may be. And that way it kind of leaves it open so that you're not locked into particular things. And I try to do at least, you know, a range, depending on the age of the children and the parents' age and such, but a minimum of 10 years, and more likely 20 to possibly 30 years out future projection.
Excellent. So that really covers the bases, so that you're starting out just understanding that this is a lifelong process. You're going to be involved with these children a good 20 years out as far as expenses, and so you need to be thinking about that early on. And for otherwise, people are finding themselves with poorly thought out plans after their divorce, and it creates a lot of tension and havoc.
And it can create a great imbalance, where I've seen where, you know, children live very comfortably, in some cases more than comfortably, in one home with one parent, and then in the other home, you know, sometimes borderlining poverty. And this is not uncommon.
Yes.
So, you know, there really should not be this disparity between homes. It's hard on the parent that is left in this situation, devastated financially, and it's hard for the child to go back and forth between homes like that.
This is Michelle. I just wanted to ask Lisa, or just to let, do parents have the option at a later time if they don't, you know, when know about your service, you know, there's the opportunity to come to you and to get help is still an option at a later time?
Well, yes, there is. But then again, that would, if the divorce has been finalized, it would require a modification, and that can get very expensive. So the best thing to do is to work with someone who understands this and plans for these long-range things before the divorce. When you're putting all the plans in place, then it becomes very cost-effective in the short term and the long term.
And attorneys, believe it or not, are not schooled the way Lisa's schooled, so they don't know all the financial nuances. A lot of people just assume that their attorney is going to give them the best guidance in that regard. But the attorneys and mediators and coaches that work with you do that because they understand the broad dynamics involved in all of this and how much they don't know. Isn't that correct?
Yes, sometimes it's the smallest details and the things that you don't know, whether it's for individuals or the attorneys that they're working with, and that can make a very big difference in your financial future.
Well, thank you for that. We have an opportunity for a call. If anyone listening has a call, you could speak up right now before we continue. I mean a question, not a call. Anyone have a question? You can speak up right now. Okay, then we will move on. And before we end, I wanted to give you each an opportunity to give us contact information about how we can find you and what you have available products or services or things like that. So why don't we start with you, Christina?
Well, you can read a free chapter of Seven Secrets to a Successful Divorce by going to www.secretsofdivorce.com, and you can just go and fill out your first name and email address, and you'll get emailed a chapter of the book. And I also include, when you purchase a book through the Internet, you can also get a free 40-minute coaching session over the phone, which we do a strategy session together and go over what's going on with the divorce right now and help you out with that. So if you go to secretsofdivorce.com, you can find out all the information there.
That's excellent. Thank you so much. And Lisa, why don't you tell us about how people can find you?
Okay. My website is divorcemoneymatters.com. That's MATTERS.com, divorcemoneymatters.com. And they can reach me toll-free at 866-722-7226. I have a free offer on my website, an audio series that they can receive. It's called The 5 Things You Need to Know Before You Sign on the Dotted Line, and that will also allow them to access my free e-zine that comes out twice a month and find out about some exciting new products and services that I have in the works right now. And, ladies, by the way, I am also working on a book that I am compiling called The Do's and Don'ts of Marriage and Divorce, and I would love to have an opportunity to speak with you about that. And anyone who is listening, there is a submission page on my website for listeners out there as well who would like to offer up some tips and experience to help others who may be getting married or going through divorce.
That's a great idea. Thank you. I think we should take advantage of that. And
yes,
Michelle,
definitely. It sounds wonderful.
Yes. Michelle, tell us how to find you.
You can find us if you go to www.childsharing.com. And there we also have access where you can get to all the information on child-centered divorce. If you sign up, you can get this month all the free resources, but I'm sure the experts we have listed there, Roz, would probably be willing to extend the offer if anybody's interested.
Mm-hmm.
And we have articles and a resource center, and we are, our goal is to work with the counties, the parents, and the children. So, and we're diligently doing that. And if anybody has any suggestions, recommendations, as we're kind of, working in this sort of emerging technology, we have a real desire to make that happen. So we welcome feedback, input as we are, just kind of expanding here. And Roz, I do want to thank you for all your wonderful effort here.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Just to let our listeners know that if you'd like a free ebook, Post-Divorce Parenting, Success Strategies for Getting It Right, you can send me, Rosalind Sadaka, an email at divorcepro@gmail.com, and I'm happy to send that to you. And information about my book, How Do I Tell the Kids About the Divorce, a Create a Storybook Guide to Preparing Your Children with Love, is available at www.childcenteredivorce.com. And you can also access my free weekly e-zine there and lots of resources from professionals all over North America who are doing the kind of work that we endorse, which means working to help people have peaceful divorces, successful divorces, happy divorces, especially on behalf of their children. And all of that is available at childcenteredivorce.com. I want to thank my three expert guests today, because the information you shared was so authentic and real and genuine and helpful in so many ways based on your own experiences with clients in your own life. It makes it a lot easier for our listeners to understand they're not alone and that there's valuable help out there for them. So thank you for that. And if you could each just give me one closing sentence, we only have a minute left of your advice. Let's start with Lisa.
Well, I would just say that, again, going back to prepare yourself in advance. know your finances regardless of what your life situation is, and empower yourself through any challenge you go through in life, and you will come out better, and you will find those gifts within every challenging experience that comes to you.
Fabulous. Thank you. And Michelle?
My takeaway would, what's going to motivate you for change? What can you do to make yourself, and your life and your circumstances different to, impact your children? And what's going to make a difference on what you do is, how is it going to impact your child's life?
Yes, so important. And Christina, what's the...
I just want to say to anyone who's listening, I know what you're going through, and it may feel like it's never going to end. It's the first thing you think about when you wake up in the morning, and it haunts you all day long, and it's so painful, but it will end, and you will come out better than ever, and you'll look back, and you'll grown from this, and you'll learn from it, and life will get better, and there is hope, and yeah, you have a brand new life waiting for you, and just keep hold of that thought.
Excellent. Well, thank you all. That was wonderful advice. I want to remind our listeners that if you go to this website link, you will be able to get free gifts from a number of divorce professionals all throughout North America, free ebooks, audio programs, free coaching, and many other gifts, and they're all available to you at www.childsharing.com/child-centered divorce. So take advantage of that. It's through the month of July for National Child Centered Divorce Month. Be sure to visit the websites and of our presenters today. And we all wish you a wonderful outcome in your lives. So thank you for participating. Thank you all.
Thank you,
Rosalind.
Wonderful. Great job you did this month.
Sure appreciate it. Okay, bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.